Once again, I forgot to press the button, so give me a second here. You want a good preacher? Get a younger one. I was reading these passages, and I have to confess, I'm scared. Are you scared? Everywhere I look, I see chaos. The news is filled with stories of people doing scary things, and most of all, I want all this chaos to stop. We need to get serious about law and order, don't we? Or do we? I want to introduce you to a character who may be unfamiliar to you. His name was Maimonides, and he was a Sephardic Jewish philosopher who became one of the most prolific and influential Torah scholars in the Middle Ages. In his time, he was also a preeminent astrologer and physician. Maimonides was and is still a pretty big deal. He's best known for a book titled The Mishnah Torah. Among other things, he identified 613 commandments, in Hebrew, mitzvot, 248 thou shalts, and 365 thou shalt nots. This puts him right in my wheelhouse. When we think about addressing the things in our lives which frighten us, we think first of laws, and it is a subject I know a little about. My office, when I was practicing, was decorated on all sides by bookshelves full of laws. My previous life was all about assuring a world of law and order. To do that, you have to know what the laws are, hence Maimonides' Mishnah Torah and my bookshelves. As I look back on it, I have to confess that I have some reservations about this focus on more and stricter laws, because I can't pretend that my day-to-day decisions about how I go about my life are guided very much by those walls of books in my office. Life is short and complicated, too complicated to consult a wall of books every time we need to make a decision. And even if that were possible, you'd find that all the words in all the books are too general to be of much use in any event. Human life is subtle. And even when the law is followed to the letter, sometimes the results just don't feel right. This week we heard about the death of an infant. The child and his grandfather were on a cruise ship. Granddad was playing with the child. The child slipped and fell from a window 11 floors to the deck below. This week, the grandfather pled guilty to criminal negligence, a felony, just as the law prescribes. The law was followed. What do you think was accomplished by that? People our age tend to be strongly law and order types. That preference was behind the popularity of the war on drugs a few years ago and related legislation which led to mass incarcerations of people. But at what cost? The United States has the largest prison population in the world, and the highest per capita incarceration rate. Prison, parole, and probation operations generate an $81 billion annual cost to U.S. taxpayers, while police and court costs, bail bond fees, and prison phone fees generate another $100 billion in costs that are paid by individuals. pretty expensive. Think of what it would cost if we tried to enforce all 265 thou shalt nots that Maimonides set out. Still, the law is how we maintain an orderly society, are they not? If we weren't permitted to do unpleasant things to people who violate our laws, nobody would obey them, would they? We have to do bad things to bad people so good people aren't troubled by the bad people, right? Well, maybe. What positive good will incarcerating the grandfather who dropped his baby accomplish? Will it bring home to him the message to be more careful the next time with any greater force than the crushing guilt he already feels? Do other grandfathers need to see him punished to bring home to them the message to be careful with infants? So we have Maimonides' 613 mitzvot, defining the rules of behavior to be followed by an observant Jew. We have walls of books defining the rules of behavior for an orderly society. Our focus is on behavior. Have we approached these questions in a reasonable fashion? To see, let's visit the one place in our world in which the law is the law is the law with no exceptions, the one place which is first and foremost a law and order environment. The Department of Motor Vehicles. In the Department of Motor Vehicles, there are no exceptions. If you need a Form 1137C, you must have a certified copy of your birth certificate along with notarized statements of two United States citizens who was present at your birth. If you don't have both those things, you are not going to get a Form 1137C, and it doesn't matter if your grandmother's going to die without it. You're not going to get it. It doesn't matter how much you need it. And it doesn't matter because the Department of Motor Vehicles, nothing is more important than that the law be precisely obeyed. And there is the problem with the behavioral approach to life. Whether you embrace the Ten Commandments or Maimonides' 613 mitzvot, or favor some other set of rules to live by, you will wind up raising the rules to an inappropriate height such that you value the rules more than you value the relationships between you and your God and you and your brothers that the rules are supposed to protect. There is a better way. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Our rules are soaked in vengeance. Do something bad, we get to do something bad in return. And if you for a minute make a suggestion that that makes no sense, I can guarantee you they will come after you with pitchforks. I tried it, and they did. Without vengeance, there is no justice, we have been taught, and we embrace it wholly. The abject failure of the war on drugs should be sufficient to demonstrate our error to us, but it doesn't appear to be so. We still hear the calls for law and order, which means, I fear, more tough treatment, more harshness, more violence. Our society is so inured to violence that it finds it hard to believe in anything else. We trust violence because we are afraid, and we will not relinquish our fears until we are able to imagine a better alternative. Such is the way of the world. But there is an alternative. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Sort of wish Maimonides had paid more attention, eh? If a law and order society looks a whole lot like the Department of Motor Vehicles, what would a society based on love look like? This week, God granted me a vision of just such a world. Kathy and I took our lunch to the pond in Central Park. A young father and his frankly adorable 4-year-old daughter were walking around the pond throwing scraps of bread to the fish. The little girl turned and saw a squirrel. Taking her piece of bread, she threw it as hard as a 4-year-old girl can throw a piece of bread. The squirrel jumped on it and leaped up a tree with the bread in his mouth, pausing to look back at her to show her he had got it. The little girl jumped up and down in ecstasies of joy, clinging to her father's hand, overjoyed at her act of kindness. You never saw a happier little girl. And that, church, is what Jesus spoke of when he spoke of love of neighbor. Where would you choose to live? In a world of imposed law and order at the Department of Motor Vehicles? Or with a little girl, ecstatic with joy at her opportunity to show kindness to another? If we can't learn from Maimonides, can we not learn from the little girl that there will never be enough walls of books to make us feel safe? I give you a new law, Jesus said. You are to love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Here's a thought that I found on Facebook, and I just liked it so much I want to share it with you. From a guy named Rob Bell. Here's what he says. The Bible isn't a book about how to get into heaven. It's a library of poems and letters and stories about bringing heaven to earth now, about this world becoming more and more the place it should be. There is very, very little in the Bible about what happens when you die. That's not what the writers were focused on. Their interest, again and again, is on how this world is arranged. Does everyone have enough? Are the power structures tilted in favor of the vulnerable? Has violence been renounced, or is it being kept in circulation? Can we throw a bit of bread to the squirrels? Till we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's children said,
Amen.
Guys, I just love you all to pieces. Let's go find some roadkill, girl.